today. We believe in carrying our Bibles around here. If you have your Bibles, if not, bring them next time. Amen. Acts 8 and 4, and then Mark 1 and 16. Acts 8 and 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. All the ordained ministers, all the licensed ministers, all those that had business cards, offices with a plaque on the door. No, it said they that were scattered, everyone that was a part of the church, they went everywhere. Everybody say everyone. They went everywhere preaching the word. The word is still effective today. It's still important. Our world needs the word. Amen. Mark 1 and 16. And now as he walked, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And so this morning, I just want to challenge the church. I believe that we are in a season of harvest. We are in a season of revival that is really like no other. And it's just the beginning. It's just the tip. It's just the start. It's just the earnest of what God is about to do through us and in us. And my title today is Becoming Fishers of Men. Fishers of Men. Amen. Can we pray? In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to anoint my mind and my heart. Help me to preach under your anointing. Help me to present your word in a concise, clear way, Lord, that our hearts would receive it, that we would be challenged in our spirit today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you to help us to be the church that you have called us to be, Lord, that we could be a life-changing agent for those around us in this city, in these neighborhoods, Lord, in our schools, on our jobs, in our families. In the mighty name of Jesus, that your word would be spread across this area and around the world in the mighty name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's so good to have Sister Karina's family here today. God bless you. Let's give them a good hand. So thankful that y'all have come all the way from New York. Amen. Welcome to God's country. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got here before it got hot. That's pretty good. Amen. Becoming fishers of men. In Scripture, we see this commission that the Lord has given his disciples. And as I alluded to in my introductory remarks, it was not just for those that were called apostles or that were called bishops or that were pastors and leaders in the church, but spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person is a responsibility of us all. No one today is exempt. I think for too long we have had the understanding or the thought process that it's up to the pastor and it's up to his staff and the ministers in the church that have positions that are called to preach or to teach the gospel. But I really believe that God is trying to get us to the point where everyone that is filled with the Spirit, that has been washed in the blood of Jesus through baptism in his name, that we become disciple makers. It's time for you and I to reach out and reach beyond ourselves. Now we did not have to do it like everybody else does it. Some people, they have a knack, they have a gift for speaking, and that's one thing. But then others, they have a gift for just connecting people. There are people in the congregation that you may be quieter in your personality, but there are still ways that you can minister to others, that you can reach others. And I believe that you don't have to do it like I do it. You don't have to do it like Pastor Fernando or Brother John David. You don't have to do it as Pastor David or one of these other ministers, but we do need to present the gospel to others. Amen. I appreciate Brother Matt and his desire for everyone to learn how to teach a Bible study. And we're doing that on first Tuesday nights. If you've missed that, come and pray at 7. And then 7:30, he's teaching us how to teach a Bible study. And I believe everyone can. In fact, I think people that have been in this church for just a few months probably know more about what the Bible means for doctrine and for us to live than most people do that go to church in denominational churches their whole life. Amen. I believe that we try to present the whole gospel and we try to present all the word, the whole word of God unto you on a daily basis. And so those of you, no matter how new you are, no matter how long you've been here, I want you to know that you have a responsibility and that you have a gift that has been placed in your life to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is just as simple as that, because I want you to know the enemy wants to silence you. He wants you to hide. He wants you to run. He wants you to separate yourself. But oh, I want you to know that God is calling every person that is a part of Way of Life Church to step up and to step out and to open your mouth and let God fill it. I believe that one of our prayers every single day needs to be, Lord, lead me to someone that is hungry. Amen. How many James Terrys are out there and they're reaching, they're striving, and they're doing everything they know to do, but God wants to open their eyes. He wants to give them a road to Damascus experience and transform their lives from just being sincerely wrong to being sincerely and zealously right. He wants to draw everybody into the Word of God. He wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to be lost today. Amen. We have a great commission. I love that word, commission, because it's really made up of two words. It's co-mission. And so we do not have the responsibility to save people, but we do have a co-mission with the one who can save them. Amen. Let me just say that again. We don't have the responsibility to save people or the ability to save people, but we do have a commission to reach people for the one that can save them. He wants to transform them. He wants to wash them. He wants to change their mind, their hearts. He wants to remove them from depression and from confusion that this world and sin has placed on their life. He hates sin, and we should hate it just as badly. And so when we see somebody in sin, we should not run from them. We should not alienate ourselves from them, but we should love them. How do you love them? Well, you don't love them by just hugging and kissing on them. No, you love them by giving them the ultimate gift, and that is the truth of the gospel, because no one is too far gone that Jesus can't reach them. No one is too lost that Jesus did not die for them. I don't care what their religion, what their nationality, what their background is. I don't care what their bank account looks like. I don't care what kind of accent they have. I don't care where they've come from or where they're going. But oh, I want you to know, Jesus wants everybody to come to repentance. And I have news for you. It is a commission. Amen. All through the Old Testament and all through the New, God chose to do his work through people. It's mysterious to me. It's amazing to me that he would robe himself in flesh
and that he would live for 33 and a half years. In the last 3.5 years of his life, he would pour himself into these flawed men. They were so flawed. They were so flawed and so changeable that when he came to the climax of his process on this earth, when he carried the cross up the hill and he had them nail him down to it, and they lifted him up between heaven and earth, there was only one disciple with him. Everybody else was hiding, was fearful, was running for their life, was cowering in a corner somewhere. Peter was hanging around a fire trying to warm his hands, and they recognized him and say, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" "No, I don't know him." This is the kind of people that Jesus decided to put the church in. "Oh, well, I can't do anything. I'm not good enough." Well, neither was Peter. Neither were the other 10. They ran and hid. Judas hung himself. I'm telling you, we are God's chosen people. We are one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy rolling. Amen. We've been blood-bought. I'm telling you, we are trying to live the Word of God, and you and I have a commission with God. And so here we are today. You do not have the ability to save anybody, but you do have the ability to bring them to the one who can. You do have the ability to give them the Word of life. And if you are silent and you hide from the things that God wants you to do, I want you to know that we are responsible to try our best to influence others for Jesus Christ. Oh, even if it's a plate of cookies, if it's a gift, if it's a little note, if it's just a word of encouragement, if you see somebody down and you just say, "Hey, I know this is a little odd. We're at work today, or we're in the grocery store, or we're here in the restaurant. I know it may feel a little weird to you, but can I pray for you? Can I pray for you?" Oh, and don't just say, "Can I pray for you?" And they say, "Yes." Say, "Okay, I will." No, do it right there. Now you don't have to holler. You don't have to speak in 5 different languages and pray so loud that it causes a riot. Now, if the Lord moves you to do that, do it. But you don't have to. Because guess what? God's not deaf. He doesn't need you to holler. He doesn't need you to speak in King James English. He doesn't need you to have all your these and thous and your periods and question marks and your commas in the right place. He just needs somebody sincere enough to grab somebody's hand and say, "Lord, you see what my friend is going through. Lord, I want you to touch them. If they need healing in their body, Lord, I pray that you would give healing in their body." And you just say, "Hey, if you really want something, why don't you come to church with me?" Just bring them to Jesus. It's time to bring people to Jesus. It's time to reach out to them. We have a commission. We are supposed to be fishers of men. Amen. Everywhere through Scripture, God chose to work through people. And so it is amazing to me that he came and robed himself in flesh, and he gave himself on the cross, and then he came alive. And for 40 days, he made himself alive to them with many infallible proofs. He taught them. He showed them. He just represented himself to be alive unto them. But then he did not call the world to bow down before him. He said, "No, I want you to go. I want you to go to the upper room. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise." Amen. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because he was not yet glorified, because it's the very essence, the very spirit of who he is. And so on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a commission. It's a commission. It is amazing to me that he would pay such a high price and then he would put it in the hands of about 120 people. He tried to put it in the hands of 500, but 500 ended up being 120. Man, it makes me feel so much better. Man, if we had everybody that calls me their pastor, here at once. We'd have to kick out some walls. Amen. Even our real sanctuary wouldn't hold everybody. Amen. But he is calling us today. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. We've already talked about that today. There's only one name. It's the name of Jesus, of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's only one name. It's singular in Scripture. The New Living Translation says it this way, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Amen. It is your responsibility. It's my responsibility to go into the world and present the gospel. Amen. Every person a convert, or every person a friend, every friend a convert, and every convert a disciple, and every disciple a disciple maker. What kind of world would it be? What kind of impact could we make? Amen. But just slow down and get this into your brain today. What kind of impact could you and I make if every person became a friend, and every friend became a convert, and every convert became a disciple, and every disciple became a disciple maker? I'm telling you, no building would hold it. Amen. Amen. God is after people that are bigger. It's the thing that he is after is bigger than a wall can hold, than a building can hold. Amen. He wants to see us baptize whole churches. Amen. People like James Terry and his wife Marletta, people living everything they know, but hungry for more, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, even though they had never heard about it for years and years of being in a denominational religion. Amen. Transformed. And now just from those two people, that one contact, now 23 other young men baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Shane Alexander, sitting here on the back row, has been teaching and preaching at a predominantly Cambodian Baptist church. And so today in the afternoon, he and I are going, and we have at least one to baptize. And we're hoping for five. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'm telling you, the day is coming when whole churches will see the revelation of who Jesus is. And our building's not going to hold it. They're just going to have to stay in their building and start preaching the whole gospel and the whole truth. And God is going to pour his Spirit out upon them. And they're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. It's not about way of life or 1332 Yates Drive, but it's about the gospel of the kingdom. And it's time for you and I to step out of our comfort zone, because it's not you that does it. It's not me that does it, but we just have to give the word. And if you give the word, it's the word of God that never returns void. It's the word of God that does the work. Amen. Whole churches, it's coming. It's coming. We are sent. We are sent. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place whither he himself would come. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. And so here we are, the Lord of the harvest is calling. The harvest is plenteous. We are not lacking people that need Jesus Christ. We are lacking people that want to deliver Jesus Christ. We are lacking people that are wise enough, that desire enough, passionate enough to present the gospel to every creature. Too many people are caught up in their own mind and their own heart. And God's saying, hey, step out. Because the joy of the Lord is found in the purpose of God. If you want real joy, do the work of God. If you want real peace, do the work of God. That's where it comes. You can do the work of God when you see somebody's life transformed through your testimony. Amen. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. To do what? To be my witnesses. Amen. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It's my great commission. It's your great commission. We receive power. And so today, before I close, let me just present to you this. What is the value of a soul? What is the value of a soul? Well, Jesus said in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what have you gained? Our brains, at least my brain, I can't wrap my brain around $1 billion, much less $1 trillion. And when they start talking about the deficit, and the, you know, the government's just printing money, they have no, man, they treat us like we're a bunch of thieves. We don't present our taxes just right, but they don't even know where their money's going or where our money's going. Let me say that. Praise the Lord. It's not a political speech. They're just all crooks. Let's just put it that way. Every single one of them, I don't care what they call themselves, whether they're elephants or donkeys, they're all a bunch of crooks. Did you get that, Siri? This is the truth. Amen. I'm glad I'm not worried about the political system. Oh, come on now. I am glad that my heart, my life, my passion is wrapped up in the only thing that's ever going to get out of here alive, and that's the church of the living God. He bought it with his own blood. Hallelujah. It's the only thing going up. It's the only thing getting out of here. Everything else is going to fall. Everything else is going to burn up. I'm sick and tired of people putting their passion in a place that's just going to die anyway. Hallelujah. I want to put my passion in prayer and worship and witness and work for the kingdom of God, because it's the only thing that's going to get out of here anyway. You might as well love God and love his purpose and let everything shake. Hallelujah. All right, I've waded off in it now. Let me just say, God has a purpose, and there is nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing the president can do about it. Congress can do about it. There's nothing the armies can do about it. There is nothing anyone in this world can do about it. When it's all said and done, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. They're either going to do it in joy or they're going to do it in fear. But oh, I want you to know that when it's all said and done, his purpose is going to happen. And so how do I get joy? How do I get peace? Well, I align myself with the purpose of God that's going to happen anyway. And so now I just get as many people into the purpose of God as I can. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to get in the church. It's time to get in the ark. It's not time to play around. It is time to live for God. What's the value of a soul? Well, let me just remind you that your soul and everybody that you come in contact with is an ever-living, never-dying soul. Amen. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. John 5:28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So words of Jesus, Matthew 10 and 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but we are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen. The fear of God releases you from the fear of everything else. Put that on a shirt. The fear of God releases you from the fear of everything else. Amen. I may just do that. Hebrews 9 and 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Matthew 5 and 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's how important it is. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that if one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. That's how important a soul is. It doesn't matter what kind of thing you have to suffer. It doesn't matter what kind of loneliness, what kind of physical pain you have to go through. It doesn't matter what kind of cross you have to carry. When you get there, we talked about it last week, it's going to be worth it all. I'm telling you, when you get there, because it doesn't matter what you have to do to get there, just get there and it'll be worth it. Oh, I love the scripture, and I've said it many times. I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are nothing. Come on, Pastor Fernando. When you have to get up and you have to make yourself, that's all right. People don't know, but I do that all the time. Not every time, but a lot. To get up, put a smile on my face, and hope on my lips when my heart is heavy. But oh, I know. No matter what I've got to trudge through today, no matter what I got to carry today, no matter when I got to fake it to make it, when I get through and I put a smile on my face and a song on my lips and I begin to lift him up, I know that one day when I get there, first of all, I'm going to know everything like it's supposed to be known. And when I get there, I'm going to look back and I'm just going to say, oh, it's worth it all. Everything that caused me trouble that I had to go through to get here, now I can't even talk about it because now everything else is so much better than I can imagine. I reckon the sufferings of this life are not even worthy to be mentioned compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, I'm telling you, heaven's going to be worth it, but hell is going to be hot, and hell is not going to be worth it. No matter if you gained all the money in the world, if you could live anywhere you want to live and spend whatever you want to spend and drive whatever you wanted to drive, and you lived 100 years. If you lived 100 years without one time going to the doctor, without one broken bone, without one hardship, you slept 8 hours every night and woke up without pain. I can't even imagine that. Nobody snored around you. Wouldn't that be great? My wife would love that. Nobody ever snored around her. I don't know who it is, but somebody is snoring in our room. Amen. Praise God. The other night I woke myself up going, psh, psh. I was like, what in the world is that sound? And why am I making that sound? Doesn't even make sense. The fact that I was conscious of it and I was still doing it, I don't know. My brain was going crazy. But if you lived your whole life without any hardship, it was all downhill. It was all summer weather, Sister Jeanette. It was beautiful, sunny, no hard winds, no storms. And you go to hell, then it's not worth it. If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, amen. I just want to remind us, I want to challenge us today. Hell is a real place. Jude 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good, well done, or whether it be bad, depart from me. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. He tells them, hey, we're going to all appear. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he makes this statement, and knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why this thing, you know, plastic, metal, it's kind of not really an official pulpit, but here we are. It's called a pulpit. I'm pulling you. Trying to pull some out of the pit today. Pulling you. If you've been messing around with sin, it's time to repent. It's not worth it. And for the rest of us, for the rest of us that have received this glorious salvation and we're trying to do our best, it is time for us to present the gospel to every person we meet. Because hell is a real place. There's two places to go in eternity, heaven or hell. There's no place in between. There's no purgatory. That's a lie of the devil. It's the same people baptizing infants. It's a lie of the devil. It's not true. It's not in the Bible. You can't find it. It's not there. Everybody say it's not there. Everybody say the Bible's right and somebody's wrong. Amen. Hell is real. There's only two choices for our soul. That is heaven or hell. Hell is a place of punishment. Matthew 25 and 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, a place of banishment. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? Amen. I can't imagine being removed from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in Mark 9 and 42, it's a place of fire and a place of worms. I'm not going to read all that. It's a long passage of scripture, but I'm telling you, it is a place of fire and a place of worms. It is a place of darkness. Jude 1 and 13 says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It is a place of torment. Revelations 20 and 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It is a place of consciousness and feeling. Luke 16 and 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He understood where he was. He was a place of thirst. And the Bible says in verse 24 of that same chapter, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. It is a place without escape. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there was a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. It is a place of unfilled desires and unanswered prayers. Verse 27, he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to the Father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, that they would also come, not come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. It was unanswered prayer. It was not a place of fulfilled desires. It was a place of weeping, and it is a place of gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 and 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so today I come to you with a warning and a way. I want you to know that there is a time when time shall be no more, and the clock will stop, and we will have no other choice to make it, and no other choice to be able to reach somebody for the gospel. And so it's today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week. We're not promised another day, but we got to make our calling and election sure, and we've got to open our mouth and reach out to somebody else. So this morning, there are two clocks. that are ticking in this place. One is a clock of your personal life. I don't know how long that'll be. Amen. I don't know how long that'll be. I'm 53. Who knows if I'll make it to 54? Who knows? A car wreck, an unresolved medical issue, whatever. You just never know. But I got to be ready today. The personal clock of Kevin Shindall is ticking. And what I do before it stops will determine where I live when it stops. And there's another clock in this place, and that is an eternity clock, and it's going to stop for all of us at some point. The Lord's going to stop time, and time shall be no more. Amen. And what you do before it stops will determine where you live forever. Whichever one comes first for you or me, it does not matter. Your space and time of repentance will have ended. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. And so today I convict you with the thought that there is heaven, that there is hell. But I also want to challenge you with the thought it's time to bring others to Jesus. Amen. If the musicians would come. Well, Pastor, I can't quote all the scriptures. Well, that's all right. Well, I don't have all the right words. Well, that's all right. Amen. If you have the Holy Ghost today, God has given you power to be witnesses. Well, you know, people can argue with an argument, but they can't argue with your experience. I'll tell you a good way to just break the church into people's lives. Just tomorrow on the job, this afternoon, at the restaurant, wherever you are, just say, well, man, you should have been at Way of Life yesterday. You know what? Most people don't talk about their churches like that. When somebody says, wow, what do you mean? Well, man, Pastor was on it yesterday. The Holy Ghost was moving in the house. We had worship, people speaking in tongues, people dancing, people jumping. We had somebody baptized yesterday. We had people healed and ministered to. You ought to come Wednesday night. Wednesday night's going to be so good. You ought to come next Sunday with me. It's going to be so good. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And then if somebody really wants to talk about the Bible, I just like to use Paul's script that I already used earlier. Well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How then were you baptized? Amen. It's time. I heard this story today from a driver in a church's bus ministry. The driver recounted the story. He said, This morning I pulled through the apartment complex several times, waiting for those that normally ride to get on and to get out and get ready, and pulled through the parking lot once and turned around and did it again. And third time, and on the third time out, I was about to pull out and head toward the church with those that I had picked up. And he said, I heard the voice of God whisper in my ear. And he just said three little words. One more time. One more time. He said, I brushed it aside thinking it's just my mind, my imagination. And turned on my blinker and I started to head out, head toward the church. And then one of the children that had already gotten on the bus got up behind me and
tapped me on the shoulder and said, can we go back one more time? One more time. And he said, okay, God, I hear you. He turned around and pulled back through one more time. And as he drove through the parking lot that he'd already passed three times, he saw this little woman on the side. She was sitting on the curb, obviously crying. He stopped and got out, asked her if she wanted to come to church. And she said, well, sir, I just came from church. But I was sitting here asking the Lord. And I told him this. I told him, I said, there's got to be something more. And so I prayed just a moment ago, Lord, send me someone. Just one more time. Of course, the rest is history. She climbed on the bus, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, transformed. Just one more time. I don't know who you're coming in contact with. There's probably somebody in your life. Name may not be James Terry or Marletta or one of these people, but there's somebody. There's a Chesco out there that is the gateway to his whole family coming. Amen. These young boys, these young girls, reaching out to their friends and bringing them to the house of God. Amen. Just one more time. He wants us to be fishers of men. Notice that Simon and his brother, Andrew, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were raised to be fishermen. They were on the water fishing. That was their occupation. That was their vocation. And Jesus comes and says, hey, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So let's all stand. My call to you today. So I don't really care what your vocation is, what your occupation is, but I do know the Lord is wanting us to become fishers of men. You don't have to stand on the corner and tell everybody they're going to hell. That's not wise. He said, I send you as a sheep among wolves, so be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Don't be foolish. Don't kill them before you ever get on the boat. Amen. You got to be wise. You got to be gentle. But you don't have to preach the whole Bible to them. You don't have to know everything, Brother Gail. You don't have to know it all. You just have to know, hey, can I take you to Jesus? Rewind to these same two fellows that Jesus just called. He'd already met them because Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he said, follow him. And so Andrew went to Jesus and saw him, talked to him. He said, come after me. And then Andrew leaves Jesus and he goes and he finds Simon. He says, Simon, I just met the Messiah. But Andrew was Simon's brother. Hear me. Andrew knew Simon better than anybody. Andrew had probably already been hit by his brother before because Simon had a temper.
Simon was changeable. He made mistakes. He talked out of turn. He said things he shouldn't say. He hurt people's feelings. He would fight at the drop of a hat. Andrew knew that. But Andrew said, hey, you got to come see. Come see. And when he brought Simon to Jesus, he brought him to Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, Cephas. He said, you are called Simon, but now you are a rock. You are a stone. He called him what he was going to be, not what he was. And so here today, sometimes we look at people, we know people, we think, oh, there's no way they will ever serve God. There's no way they'll ever love God. There's no way they'll ever preach the gospel. There's no way they'll ever win somebody to the Lord. There's no way they'll ever live for God. But I want you to know that you don't have to judge them. Just bring them to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus, because the gospel transforms lives. Jesus can transform a Simon to a Peter, a Simon to one that leads the church and preaches the gospel on the day of Pentecost. I want you to know he can make this man that was unchangeable die for him. He can make this man that was unchangeable open up the doors to the Gentiles. And so who is it in your life that you judge? Oh, this is just a Simon. It's just a Simon. He'll never do anything. He'll never be anything. He'll never change. She'll always be the way she always was. She'll never come into church. She'll never change the what she does and what she says and how she dresses and where she goes. She'll never change. But Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to be fishers of men. You just bring them to me and let me do the rest. Oh, hear me today. Just bring them to Jesus and let him do the rest. You can't save them anyway. I can't save them anyway, but the word can transform somebody's life. Oh, this altar's open. Can we come and pray? Lord, use me. Lead me to somebody. Oh, let me ask one more time. Let me pray one more time. Let me reach one more time. One more. Who knows? Who knows? There's an Apostle Peter out there. There's an Apostle Paul out there. Who knows? Well, they don't look like us. They don't talk like us. Well, God wants to transform them. Well, they have a background and baggage. Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Hallelujah. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that have a whole lot of baggage that we're walking in with. But God is able to transform lives. Our job is just to fish. Our job is just to witness, to bring them to Jesus. Oh, these altars are open. If you need the Holy Ghost, it's the time to get it. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, this is the time to do it. Hallelujah. We're ready today in Jesus' name. Let's pray.